Welcome to the Ag Matters podcast. Agriculture matters because it's all around us and provides countless benefits to our economy, whether you live in an urban or rural community, from Steinbach to Swan Valley, from Melitta to Neepawa. Agriculture affects everyone and has a presence in every community, providing countless benefits to our economy and quality of life. Agriculture matters not only for the tens of thousands that work in the sector here in Manitoba, but for all Manitobans concerned about having a food system that provides access to affordable, nutritious food. It's not limited to farmers. We have veterinarians, agronomists, data scientists, researchers, financial advisors, HVAC technicians, commercial truck drivers, food processing workers, and so many more. Those working in agriculture are leaders in Manitoba's economic growth, significantly contributing to advancing Manitoba as a provider of safe, nutritious, sustainable, and affordable food at home and across the globe. Welcome to the Ag Matters podcast. I'm Jordan Sasiwa, and of course, during these podcasts, what we like to do, talk about important topics in the ag world and get the industry's perspective as well as a producer's perspective. So first off, jumping right into it, we've got a great guest today, Susie Miller from the Canadian Roundtable for Sustainable Crops. She's the executive director. Susie, your perspective is going to be very valuable to us on this because you've seen it from the top down, how it works to build public trust. So first off, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I've been working as the executive director for the Roundtable for Sustainable Crops since 2017. Very exciting time, very interesting. Before that, I worked at Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada and Saskatchewan Agriculture and Food for more years than I will tell you about.
But hey, that's what we want. We want to know from those who have seen it for at least a decade, at least one decade. We want, okay. Want that information.
It's there.
Good, perfect. No, but in all seriousness, this has been something that has really kind of taken that front seat is the public trust, and ensuring that as products hit the market, as you know, as producers get out there and do their thing, it's that critical part of it that everyone trusts the process. So let's talk about that. What do you see in the public trust world?
I think there is a difference across Canada in terms of how the public views agriculture and food production. I think the one thing that they all have in common is that everybody trusts farmers. But what we're learning is that they don't necessarily trust what they do and how they do it. In the crop world, the public trust was focused around genetically modified organisms, those that are transgenic, and it didn't really result in significant reduction in consumption. It did give rise, however, to a higher profile for organic, and certainly it impacted on international markets. But what we've seen in the animal industry is much more significant. It's the care of animals, and it's also now the greenhouse gas emissions. So from the crop perspective, we've had a reasonably easy ride in Canada. Pesticides is probably, or the use of pest control products is probably the area where consumers are most concerned. But as I said, they trust farmers, but we need also to make sure that they trust how farmers farm.
Well, and I think you nailed it there is, you know, especially for myself and coming from like less of a agriculture background, mm-hmm. I would suggest that was something I never questioned. I would never question a farmer. You know, it's that family values, that salt of the earth, that understanding that person, their livelihood revolves around doing a good job and doing the right things. And we talked about this in a previous podcast, doing the right things. So I guess let's build on that a little bit and best practices and
And of course, Canadian Roundtable, that's, I would imagine that's a big part of your conversations as a team and as a unit, is how do we build some best practices, building off the just the nature of the farmer and how people care, and then bringing that to the public.
Yeah, I think it's beyond just doing the right thing. It is being able to demonstrate that you're doing the right thing. And in 2021, we constructed a white paper, and with 22 interviews and much more background research, what we looked at was from their perspective, what are the pinch points in terms of demonstrating sustainability? We talked to grain customers, we talked to exporters, but we also talked to government and public trust experts like Farm and Food Care and the Center for Food Integrity, whose mandate it is to build public trust through broader understanding of how the agriculture sector works. And what we found was, and of course, none of this was surprising. We knew it instinctively, but at least we had some broader conversations to back it up. And what we found was that from a marketing and a customer perspective, that they are facing pressures on, I would say, public trust from their customers, the ultimate consumer. Grain farmers don't sell directly to the final consumer, whereas others, horticulture products, eggs, for example, there's that direct contact, even milk. The final consumer can be a very long way, both physically and along the supply chain from the grain farmer. So this was our opportunity to have a discussion with grain farmers on what's out there in terms of the landscape on sustainability. And it was very productive, very helpful. And what it led to was working directly with farmers and farm associations to build key practices. I mean, you talked about, sort of the best practices. The best practices that they do. And, but with that, it's showing how many. So there's proof behind it. So it's not just enough to say we're sustainable. It's about showing we're sustainable and showing the outcome, demonstrating the outcome. So how do these best practices matter? What do they result in? And so what we were able to create with the farmers was approved key messages and practices, which we are calling Foundations of Sustainable Crop Production.
Excellent. And that's, so this is based on, we've said it out loud, this is our best practices. And then you get that feedback of people saying, well, if it is the best practices, we should be getting the best end product.
Right.
Yeah, correct. So what has happened then to show the general public? I mean, you're preaching to the choir. I'm a huge fan of this, the Canadian agriculture. If it says, if it's a Canadian product, I'm just something in my stomach. Maybe it's just because I'm a proud Canadian, but it's going to be a good product. But what's in place to show that excellent level of, and I don't even know what words to use, like a purity or a cleanliness and the production being as environmentally friendly as possible. What do we have to show people?
Not much yet. All we oh, because this is important to gain. And you talk about public trust, but there's also farmer trust. And those of us who work on behalf of farmers have an obligation to have them feel comfortable with how we're telling their story, with how we're representing them. So we have these approved practices, which we developed last year. We are now, we've gone through a process of getting a prototype developed of how the communications material would look. And we're selecting the what we call the metrics or the proof points, both of how many farmers undertake that practice and what the results are. And our expectation is that this fall that we'll have the communication material available. Now, it is not the Canadian Roundtable for Sustainable Crops is a small operation. We don't have the resources nor the mandate to talk directly to marketers or customers or consumers or the general public. What we're doing is we're producing material for others to use. For our members and anybody else who wants to. So what we're hoping, what we expect is that we can have a product that farmers are proud of, that they can show to, and that they can use in their interactions with government or buyers or, you know, just their neighbors. To explain more how they farm and what that means in terms of sustainability. But it's also geared towards international markets and domestic markets, those that buy the products and use them to manufacture further products. But it's also an opportunity to produce a sort of a consistent, coherent, and credible material that governments can use to say, you know, when they're working in the international sphere, this is how our farmers farm.
And I think that that's a very critical part to public trust is, again, when you see a Canadian product, it's the same as if you see a Ford product or a John Deere product, you know how it was built. And that's where the trust in that name brand comes from. So I love that, this is the way we're thinking is, one, be true to the farmer, make sure that they're on board and they say, yeah, yes, this, please do go present me this way. And then two, the consistency. So going forward, how do we kind of grow consistency and continue the trust in the public?
Well, I mean, that's one of the reasons for behind the development of the Canadian Roundtable for Sustainable Crops. And over time, we really focused on, you know, sort of measuring and demonstrating sustainability. And first of all, there is a willingness and a recognized need among the stakeholders that we're more successful if we work together. And if we're expressing the situation as it is in the same way. All of these organizations have public trust and consumer education mandates. Even if they're small, some of them are much larger, but they do undertake this work. And many of them do work directly with farmers as well. So this allows us, this consistency allows to build on each other. You know, our grains industry in Canada is not one organization. When we were working with the associations to develop the practices and key messages, there were 39 that were invited. And each of them comes from a different region, from a different crop. And this is an opportunity to talk about it as a whole, as a system. I mean, as you know, in Manitoba, there's no such thing as just a wheat grower or just a canola grower or just a lentil grower or just a barley grower. And, you know, potatoes are in that mix as well. A potato farmer grows grain. And so that when you have an ability to achieve consensus, not only among those grain associations, but also along the supply chain, you've got a very powerful tool to utilize.
No, that's the truth of it is mm-hmm. to be able to say, look, we've got a large percentage agreeing and a large percentage doing the very similar things. So there's going to be the consistency in message and production. That's, I mean, that is, that to me is the backbone of public trust. It's that agreement from the people doing the work. So what does this look like 5 years from now, 10 years from now? What's the progression and what's the hopes from this Canadian Roundtable for Sustainable Crops? Where does this go?
Well, we've placed a great deal of emphasis on measurement, and we were ahead of everybody else because now governments, companies, et cetera. I mean, we did our first greenhouse gas emissions study in 2017. And, you know, it is used in the renewable fuel regulations by Environment and Climate Change Canada. And they have stated in their consultation document that it is the best that there is. So we need to build on those strengths. We have gained as an organization, we have gained credibility in terms of undertaking work like that and having it sufficiently rigorous that it can be used in, you know, things like regulations, although that was not the original intent. We participate a lot in cross-sector activities, like the National Index on Agri-Food Performance, that allow us to contribute our knowledge, but also leverage what it is that they're doing. But I can see that measurement is going to become, it has become more and more important. So the CRSC is, not that we didn't have a focus on it before, but we really want to strengthen our capacity. And that includes publishing, in addition to the foundations for sustainable crop production, we want to publish a solid benchmark report that says, you know, for those who want to dig a little deeper, we already have a metrics platform. You can find everything in there, but it really takes a dedicated individual to sort out everything. We want to be able to provide consolidated performance reports. We have 14 different topics. As I said, only the most assiduous will go in and search through all of that until they get an understanding. So that's our strength. It's our strength to be able to show that proof, and it's our strength to bring everybody together.
No, and I love that. Public trust does exist in the data, truthfully, right? Like that's, like if you are doing the measurements, bringing those numbers together, that is essentially when you can look at somebody and just say, here's the data, there's no arguing with it, we're doing the right things, we're doing the right things as a group, and there's agreement on it, it only builds further that public trust. And I love to hear that that's what you're up to.
Well, you know, that's only part of the story, I have to say. I think one of the things that we really have learned in public trust that there's got to be shared values. And numbers alone don't resonate with everybody. And we need to work in conjunction with those who have kind of more expertise in making those connections. And that includes the farmers themselves. As I indicated earlier, farmers have the highest level of trust in food production of any group in Canada. It's actually a worldwide phenomenon, and it's not changing. Nobody's coming out ahead. You know, the level of trust for government comes and goes. Level of trust for food company goes. there's always a bias, unfortunately, against corporations. But farmers have an advantage, but they need to tell the story, their story, in their own way, in a way that resonates. And you know, a lot of our members are doing that. They are investing the resources to permit that the exposure of individual farmers. So what we're providing is the data and the numbers behind it for those that are looking for proof points. And that is, the international markets are very interested in that type of thing. And it comes from the differences across the world in terms of how farming is conducted. There's differences across the country. There's differences between conventional and organic, but they're all sustainable, or they all can be sustainable. But if you don't tie those different ways of looking to outcomes that they are looking for, then you can't convince them that anything but their way is correct. I mean, case in point, the whole farm to food, farm to fork approach in the European Union. You know, their decision was, or their proposal was, that 25% of production in the EU would be organic. For what reason? But I mean, it's not going to happen in Canada, although there, organic is a strong brand. It's a strong process. There's a lot of commitment there. But in terms of 25%, that's not likely to be without significant consequences in terms of our ability to participate in international markets and contribute to food security. So for a situation like that, we really need to show, to gain that trust, we need to show that the results are as good as with one process as with another. And the focus has been on, in terms of public trust, and we have that same focus too, because the international standards are not based on any outcomes. They're based on practices. It's, you should do this, or you must do this, or you're measured if you're doing this. What we're trying to do is to provide those practices, but tie it to outcomes, so that if our practices don't fall into somebody's narrow range, or if they are a little bit more, if we're ahead of the curve, we can actually show the impact of how we're ahead of the curve. Case in point, the adoption of no-till, which is significant in grain production in Canada. It's not universal, never will be universal. It's not suited to every circumstance. But for those circumstances where it are, we're ahead of the rest of the world. And consequently, we're able to actually sequester significant amounts of carbon. But that's not the case elsewhere. Crop rotation is another one. You know, they talk a lot about monoculture. Well, sometimes monoculture is, you know, one crop in one field. Sometimes it's not rotation. 98% of our farmers rotate their crops. And I really do believe that those 2% was a mistake. But anyway, that is not the same everywhere. We should be proud of that, but we should also talk about what that does. And what that means in terms of pest control, in terms of financial viability for the farmers, in terms of food security, or being able to contribute to world food security, in terms of healthy soils. There's all sorts of nutrient use. There's all sorts of benefits that come from that. And yeah, so crop rotation is a good practice, but what does that really mean? What impact does that have? And how do we measure up, both in terms of how we're using these practices, but also in terms of the outcome that we can have and the assurances that we can give our customers and our fellow citizens that we are in fact sustainable?
I love it. Susie Miller, Executive Director, Canadian Roundtable for Sustainable Crops. So insightful. And thank you for those clarifications, because this is, like I say, when you think that this is global impacts on agriculture for Canada and what agriculture means to the economy in this country, and it is just so critical. So thank you for those insights. Much appreciated.
Thank you for the opportunity. You're welcome.
Perfect. Now we're on to our next segment, and we're going to be talking to one of our local producers to get some more insight from a farmer who does things with public trust in their heart. Welcome back. We're continuing the topic of public trust. We've got Jackie Dudgeon McDonald, and Jackie is a lifelong farmer. It's been in her blood, and it's in the family, as well as marrying into now a cattle ranch. And to add to all of that, because probably not busy enough doing, you know, two family farms, we're also a farmer director for canola growers. Jackie, tell us a little bit more about yourself, and thanks for coming on.
Thank you very much for having me. Yes, I am not busy enough. So to add into all of that, I also have my husband and I have two children, five and just about two. So we have that, and we also both work off-farm jobs. So we are, there's no shortage of, or there's a shortage of free time around here, that's for sure. But yeah, I grew up in southern Manitoba. Dad's been a grain farmer my whole life. Met my husband. He had cows, so we kind of married the two, quite literally. And we are now doing a little bit of everything. The cattle keeps us busy during the winter. Grain keeps us busy during the summer. It's a nice balance. So yeah, it's been really good. It's been really interesting. Beef is new for me. It is a totally different ball game than grain farming, because you're generally dealing with a lot more people asking you and what you're doing and how you're doing it and seeing your animals. We sell our beef direct to consumer, so we definitely have a lot of questions about how we feed them, how we raise them, so on and so forth. So that's been new.
Well, and tell me a little bit more about that, because like this is the fascinating thing about agriculture is you've got everything. You've got the person that imports worldwide on a scale that you just would blow your mind. And then mm-hmm. you've got all the fantastic farmers that are like, no, I just want to grow this and sell it direct to the people that I can shake their hand and tell them about me and the animals. So how does that work for you?
It's been pretty interesting. My husband and I absolutely love it. There is no better feeling than when we deliver beef to one of our customers who are all generally people we know very well. And we get texts back often or calls saying, oh, wow, this is the best beef we've ever had. This is so good. You know, we'll keep ordering. You don't have to worry about losing us as a customer. So it's really interesting because when you are grain farming, you know, you sell your grain to the elevator and it's gone and you just get your check and you walk away. So it's been really rewarding to tie in that end user and us actually get the feedback and get to see our product out there. So it's been fantastic.
I'm seeing why you got selected for the public trust stuff, because that direct touch with the person who knows what you're doing is such mm-hmm. a valuable part of public trust. Now, what does public trust mean to you?
Oh, wow. That can be such a loaded question, right? What does public trust mean to me? For me personally, it means that when I'm sharing or when we're talking about the practices that we're doing and how we're raising our beef, the consumers, the people around know that we're making these decisions and we're doing these things for the betterment of our animals, the betterment of the land, the betterment of the community, and that we're making the best decisions we can for, you know, multiple different people and groups. So that's really, at the end of the day, to me, what public trust means. Not even just simply like, oh, the public trusts me. No, it's that they know that we're making the best decisions, not just for ourselves selfishly, because at the end of the day, every single farmer is making decisions that benefit them, but also are benefiting so many other groups. Like I said, your communities, the local businesses that you're choosing to support, just whoever is purchasing your product across Canada or any other country. So, you know, just for the public to know that we're making decisions that are not selfish decisions, because we do want to be able to continue doing everything we're doing for generations.
And I think doing this project, the most fascinating stats that have come up is really just around how much the public trusts farmers.
Those
numbers are incredible. Like, it's fascinating. So what does that mean to you? Because that's a big trust.
yeah. I mean, I've seen those numbers as well too. And every time that someone shares them, I'm always surprised. Because like anything these days, the negative always seems to be amplified more than the positive. So you don't always expect to have so much public trust, but it is in two ways. It's very humbling to know that people, there is a lot of people who are trusting what we're doing, but then also feel like a really big weight. Like, you know, we better make sure we're doing things right. And how can we continue to make sure we're doing things right and not lose this trust? Because as so many people know, it's very hard to build up trust. It's very easy to lose it. So it also, there's a bit of pressure with that as well too, to make sure we maintain it.
And what do you find as somebody in multiple industries, sitting on boards, mm-hmm. what do you find the benefits are to this higher level of public trust?
I think it allows us to be a little bit more creative and kind of venture outside the normal, like the norm of farming in some of the ways that we either produce our product, market our product, or choose how to operate our farm, because we know that the majority of the public is kind of coming along with us on this ride. So it kind of gives us the ability to be a bit more bold in some of the decisions we're making, specifically on the board. For Manitoba canola growers, we're able to just be a bit more out there rather than status quo, because we kind of know we have some of that consumer or public trust to back us up.
All right. So tell me, from the perspective of something like the Canadian Roundtable for Sustainable Crops, let's talk a little bit about the fact that farmers are actually involved in the policies and everything surrounding, you know, production and sustainability. What does that look like for the farmers?
Mm-hmm. You know, there's been so many groups being put together to work on some of these sustainability issues and trust issues, and farmers have been at the forefront of every single one of those discussions. Whether we are included at the beginning stages or we're included midway to the end to kind of make, you know, give our final approval or stamp of approval, or you could say, on what some of these policies or messaging is going to be going out. We've always been there and have always had the final, like, you know, yay or nay. Does this make sense? Does this fit? Because a really quick way to lose public trust is to not provide the correct information. And if there is misinformation or miscommunication between the farmers and the people putting the message out there, that's where things start getting lost.
Yeah. And how true is that, right? Like, if it's not the right message, like you say, that misinformation goes out way faster and comes back with a vengeance. Let's talk then about something that you are very well versed in, and that's the Hello Canola program. We'd love to know a bit about that.
The Hello Canola program is one of the, I would say, one of the most out there and most unique ways to get one of our commodities out into the consumers' minds and on their screens and, you know, in their daily lives. So Hello Canola has been something that the Manitoba canola growers, as well as Alberta and Saskatchewan, have been working on for years. Like 7 years we've been working on this. And I think the most exciting thing about it is the fact that this is the first time that the three provinces have worked on something like this together. So the community we've built and the cross-province support has been huge. You know, we're not now just one provincial organization trying to do this. We have like this united front, which has been which has really helped push us further than we probably could have gone on our own. The biggest change that we've realized with Hello Canola, or working on Hello Canola, is that we don't need to market to farmers about how great canola is. what we need to do is show consumers how amazing canola is and how proud they should be of canola. You know, it's a Canadian made crop. And supporting local, supporting Canadian is very, you know, on trend these days. And it's also really important for our economy. So being able to show consumers that canola isn't just canola oil and all the different ways you are actually already using it and already supporting Canadian farmers has been a really unique way to go about it. And we've seen some great results so far.
Love it. Love it. Public trust summed up from the eyes of a farmer. Much appreciated joining us today. It filled out this podcast perfectly. We've got industry. We've got a farmer who's outspoken and loves the public trust side of it and just loves being in the business. Any last words?
The only last words would be is just, you know, eat beef and eat canola.
Very well said, Jackie. Thank you for coming on. I look forward to more conversations with you in the future.
Thank you so much.